Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all our listeners. This is Star, and you are listening to the George Foster Diamond Report, where all bases are covered. And as always, we have very interesting topics tonight. Hello, Coach Foster.
Good evening. How's everybody this evening?
Great, great. Lots of baseball news. We're coming up to All-Star Week as well, so many, many new things ahead. First, we'll go over the latest news for the week and cover that and see your opinion. Let's speak about the retirement of Bernie Williams. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's more the retirement of his jersey, or his number rather, and it's a great feat. Same with Konerko with the White Sox, they retired his number, and then I believe they gave him built a statue for him. So it's a great, telling the player that we really appreciate you, and it's a great honor for them to do that, and especially being a Yankee, having your number retired. So that's something that he should cherish for life.
Yeah, and appreciation sometimes seems like it's hard to come by, and regardless of what sport you're in, whether it's baseball, tennis, football, having that acknowledgement after all of those years of hard work, hard practices, day in, day out, starting even from when you're young. What would be your advice to those youth who dream about having that appreciation or that recognition of even a statue? Like, how do you get to that point?
Well, it's being appreciated and being able to go out there and play hard and do your best out on the field. And it's a statement that fame is man-given, so being able to go out there and whatever award that you receive, be appreciative of. But your goal shouldn't be to go out there to get recognized as such, but let your stats or let your play determine how you're going to be recognized. But the Yankees have been known to recognize players who've done a good job. And when Steinbrenner were alive, he made sure that players who did well for him were taken care of financially for life, and they become like family, which is great. Other organizations haven't really caught on in that aspect. You look at it, you probably can name them on one hand. They go to get the Yankees, the Cardinals, the Dodgers. That's about it as far as I know. But those three teams are top in being able to do that. But as a player, being able to go out there, no matter what level, I see some of these college coaches or college players being honored for the things that they had done when they played or coached at a lower level.
Yeah, and that family support or that sort of camaraderie, certainly I feel like was more apparent, and you could speak upon this back during the days when you were playing, when maybe the dollars were not in the forefront, the endorsements, the sponsorship, and there was more of a focus on just the game and the love and passion for the game.
Right. It's going back, even if your little league or your high school team, there have been players having school, not really school, but a road. Like, well, good example, Pete Rose has a road named after him, or Joe Nuxall, or Chuck Horman, things as such. It's a great recognition not only for the player, but his family and friends get a chance to say, this, my relative was recognized, and they named a street after that individual. And it's the fame itself goes longer ways than the money themselves. But being able to go out there and let the money itself be the byproduct of whatever you do, not letting it be your sole focus.
Right, just playing the game. Like you said, people have eyes and they'll see who shines out the most. And that's the legacy that you're speaking of with the statues and the street names. And that certainly is a big thing. So that's big news.
Yeah, that's great. I know the Reds have done that with Joe Morgan, Johnny Bench. Tony Perez will be in August, and they're thinking about doing the rest of the Big Red Machine a couple of years down the road. But it's great that they would do that and letting fans get a chance to have the fans who were there for us, now they having grandchildren or their children being able to go and say, well, yeah, here, this guy's been honored. They want to know why this guy's been honored, and they talk about the stats or the contribution that player put in for not only the team but the city itself. And you go to other stadiums, Hank Aaron's the same way in Atlanta. Then you have Willie Mays or Willie McCovey. So it's great that they take the time to do that and letting players it just passing on history.
Yeah, exactly. It's a footprint they're able to leave. It's very great news. And coming on to the turnaround, and we're, of course, in the middle of the season, and, you know, what was your mindset once you're, approaching All-Star Week and then getting ready afterwards and switching gears?
Well, approaching All-Star Week, you still want to try to go into it strong and not only individual but as a team. But after the All-Star break, sometimes when you're hot, you don't really want, if you're playing well, you don't really want that All-Star break because you're going to have those three days off, and you're somewhat thinking that you may lose that timing. So you try to do something to keep the timing going, taking batting practice, make sure you stay in shape. But it's a great celebration for fans. But as far as the players, they still try to do things to stay in shape. And playing the game itself, you want to play. It's not, to me, I still feel it's an exhibition game. It's not a serious game. And sometimes you can get hurt when you're not out there being serious about the game. But I know the times that I made the All-Star team, the guys were out there. Their objective was to beat the American League, not just to go out there and make an appearance. We wanted to go out there and win.
Yes, that driving force is still instilled in you. What about this turnaround of the Astros? What do you make of it?
Yeah, I'm just amazed. It's exciting for baseball to not only look at the Astros. I know the Royals last year were up there, and mm-hmm. no one thought they would be up there again this year. And then Minnesota Twins are up there. They're playing great ball. But the Astros, one note you say, it's great that they put them in the American League, maybe that helped them, but they're playing great ball. They have a lot of talent, guys that really want to play hard. Altuve, he won the batting crown last year, and he was a guy that he's driven to go out there and do well. When you have a leadership as such, even though he's played maybe 3 or 4 years, but he's a force on that ball club, and you're getting guys who have experience and bringing it all together. But around July, it's going to really indicate how well they will do the rest of the year, because I always said that the winning ball club needs a strong bench, meaning that guys being able to come off the bench and give the starting players a rest, even just 1 or 2 days here or there, makes a big deal. Because if you're playing 150, 160 games, you may get a little bit exhausted, so you're going to lose that edge. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Twins, the Royals, the Astros do after All-Star break.
Yes, it certainly will be intriguing, and everyone will be sitting on the edge of their seats. And you're talking about too much rest and the borderline and are sustaining that momentum. And as we can see, if we switch gears to the NBA, they had almost like a full 7 days before they go back, and sometimes that hurts them or helps them. How do you think that? And also they spoke about Bryce Harper not wanting to do the home run derby possibly. What do you think would be the best choice or decisions for a player right now who's doing well to sustain that momentum?
A player who's doing well right now is still doing something, doing whatever they can to keep themselves strong and keep that momentum going. You have a tendency sometimes – you're looking too far towards the finish line compared to looking at the steps up to the finish line. You may stumble on the way, but you try to maintain that consistency. Whatever consistency you have formulated up to that point, try to keep that going and doing things. People feel that I look at being fatigued and being tired are two different things. Being fatigued is like a car, you're driving a car and it runs out of gas, but being somewhat tired is like when they always say when you get a new battery or get a new phone, you want to charge it all the way up. So if you don't charge it all the way up, you're going to get tired quicker. So you got to do things to make sure your body's ready to go that long haul so that you can be stronger at the end. And having a good start is great, but having a great finish is much better.
Right, and when you're playing, do they have established practices during that downtime or that break that you can practice outside, or did you have to sort of practice on your own? What was your routine?
If you didn't make the All-Star team, you would have a scheduled practice, but you can go and practice on your own if it's going to a batting cage or going to do some throwing or running on your own. But if you make the All-Star team, they have at the time we played, they didn't have all the celebration like they do as far as having the fan fest. They didn't have the home run hitting contest. They only had the game itself. So they would have a day of batting practice to get yourself ready for the game. Then after that, you have a day to go to whatever city you're going to go to start the second half. But you still want to do things to maintain and make sure that you're loose and flexible. You don't want to pull anything going into the second half of the season. So it's a physical, mental game that you have to try to maintain. Some guys take a trip or go on a vacation, but you in those 3 days, you don't want to do too much to exhaust yourself.
Definitely. And getting ready for that game, there's a lot of other things that entail for getting ready. And we saw some of this happen actually right now, is the increasing number of injuries, and how does that affect the team and the dynamic? Like in other sports, we can take, for example, we saw it in basketball. We had some of the top stars having to step out because of injuries or concussions, and it sort of offset the dynamic. But when they're already winning, that wasn't a huge, it wasn't as impactful. But if you're losing, so how do you sort of prepare for that, and how do you sort of handle that?
Injuries become part of the game itself, but I always looked at the fact that you try to get yourself in the best shape as possible, and that eliminate a lot of injuries on your part. And some guys are trying to push their body to a point that the body's not capable of doing it, and then that's when the injury will take place. It starts in spring training as far as the mindset. The fallacy of some of the guys, they don't maintain it during the course of the year. They figure whatever they've done in spring training will carry over through the rest of the season. But you need to keep working out, doing something to maintain during the course of the year to keep yourself strong, keep yourself flexible, because it's a long grind. You got to play hard day in and day out. Once you go out there and not play your hardest, and then all of a sudden you try to go for a swing or a catch or a throw, and you may pull something easily. That's because you didn't get your body prepared for that certain occasion.
That's certainly true. Preparation is key at all levels, no matter young, old, pro, or amateur. Let's speak upon the managers, because these are all different dynamics. The injuries, the emotions within that team. If you have a strong manager, do you think that is the sole reason of making a team, or a strong team, or do you need both?
It's having a guy that's a manager who knows leadership and get a chance to know the players, that each player is different. You got to treat each player differently, knowing what their mindset is and how to, knowing with our team, the Big Red Machine, the manager knew that the the starting eight, the guys, they're going to be in the lineup on a regular basis. So he's already written down the one through eight who's going to be in the lineup. Only question mark sometime of who's going to pitch that particular game. Because Griffey, myself, or Rhodes, or Vince, or Perez, we wanted to play every day. We didn't want to come out of the game. We wanted to play every day. And just to go out there and see, it's striving for excellence. See how can we can do day in and day out. When the season's over, well, we're going to stack up. We're going to be leading in the home runs, or RBIs, or batting average, some major category. Guys today, most of them don't have goals as such. Their goal is just to finish the season. Whatever their stats are, it's okay. If they have a multi-year contract, they're not going to get cut. I mean, if they get cut, they're still getting their salary. But it's a sense of pride being able to go out there and play hard and have that balance. Some guys' batting average is under 250. They could care less, but I feel it's a pride factor being able to try to go out there and hit 300 or better. And just having that balanced attack when you're out there competing, and that becomes the mindset. And then you having a manager knowing that who can play day game after night game makes a big difference. When a guy needs to get a rest, he may say he doesn't want a rest, but you can see that he's not as strong as he had been say the week before. So giving the guy a day off now and then will help him come back strong.
Yeah, and do you think that mindset that you guys had is a lost cause now? Or are there any players who you see who have that sense of pride and have that drive and that tenaciousness?
Well, there are guys mainly because they have veteran players who've done that and showing them what they need to do. You take Albert Pujols for the Angels, you know, he's had that for a long period of time, and then he helped to bring that also to the Angels with Mike Trout. Here's a guy that wants to go out there and play hard day in and day out. Beltre for Texas Rangers, Machado. There are a lot of guys that are still want to go out there and play hard, and because they're a team player, and if they feel they can go out there and play and be productive and help the ball club win, they will do that. They're not looking to take a day off unless they feel they really need it, or the team doesn't really need them at that period of time. And then also you may not need to take a whole day off. If your team is winning or losing by, say, 10 or more runs, it's important for the manager maybe take you out, because that one or two innings that you can sit there and watch, it's really help you mentally to really focus on what you need to do, fine-tune what you need to do mentally when you are in the game. So a lot of time it's not the physical, it's the mental fatigue that comes about.
Yeah, the mental aspect in all sports is a huge thing. Who would you say would be the standout manager and the one that you describe who has that connection with the players?
When I played, I felt Sparky Anderson, Whitey Herzog, they had that connection with the players, and the teams that won day in and day out, they have that connection. You're looking at a Bobby Cox, or looking at Tony La Russa, the guys who won, Jimmy Leland, those guys who won on a consistent basis have that connection because they know that they need their star players now and then to take a rest. A guy like a Pete Rose, of course, you can't take him out of the lineup because he wants to go out there and play day in and day out, and he hardly ever missed a game unless he had some type of injuries. But if he's not hurt, he's going to play 162 games a season.
Yeah, I certainly agree. And we're about to approach our Foster wrap-up, but first I would like to ask you, of course, now the Reds play the Nats, and they had an interesting series. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, it was surprising that the Reds, who hadn't been playing well, to sweep a team like the Nats, who were playing well. And the key was keeping Bryce Harper in the ballpark and more so intimidating him. And I think that was a big plus for the Reds. And you find in teams, if it's the Cardinals or the Reds, who've been around a while, you have a young player like Bryce Harper who's hot. they're going to do whatever they can to intimidate that guy and get his mind off of what he needs to be doing. So he's going to lose focus. And then once the guy loses focus, he's not going to have the right timing and the right drive as he had before.
Yeah, that's certainly true. It's a fine line. Now we've come to the part, and of course you're listening to George Foster Diamond Report every Sunday at 9:30. Feel free to call in, give us your thoughts, any questions, give us your opinion. You can call in at 347-539-5397. And first we'll go over the catalyst player of the week. Who would you say?
It had to been back to Bryce Harper's been the catalyst player because he's up to the 3-game series with the Reds. He's been consistent as far as hitting the ball out of ballpark and being the guy who carried that ball club. So Bryce Harper would be that guy.
Yeah, definitely. Certainly agree. And we're very excited. And a lot of the analysts are talking about how these young players are really rising up and showing us their full potential.
Yeah, they're starting to get the confidence and starting to trust the mechanics or their game plan. And each guy needs to have a game plan, and now they found that game plan is working, and they're trusting it, and now their body's prepared to go out there and to do it. Some of the guys, they have a lot of potential, but they yet to find a good game plan, how they approach the game, and that makes a big difference in the outcome.
And is that game plan or that approach to the game plan, is that or realized when you're at your peak or when you're young or when you're older, or it just doesn't depend on age? It's more of a mental thing.
It doesn't depend on age. It depends on who's around you to reveal that to you, letting you know what you need to do. And that's the key in having a veteran player who's been successful around you. And when I mentioned Pujols earlier, here's a guy who can talk, or even Don Baylor, who's the hitting instructor for the Angels, he can talk to Mike Trout, when he's not swinging the bat well, saying that it's just something that you need to go through and work it out, and things will get better. Don't get frustrated.
Were there any highlight plays that really stood out this week?
I'm watching the game with the Cubs and then tonight, and there's Cubs and the Royals. It was a tie ball game, and bases loaded with one out, and usually you're going to play the outfield end, and the guy ended up hitting a ball just over the, because the infield is going to be in also, so now the ball was just eluded the shortstop, but if the outfield players were in closer, the outfielder had a chance to catch that ball. But you, because when a guy hit a long fly ball, there's no chance you throwing him out. So you got to be in close. And someone, it was a neglect on someone's part to not make sure that the outfielders were in, so they gave the Cubs a chance to win the game.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's definitely key. And it's also good to, like, see these different plays so then you can sort of model from it on your own level.
Well, that's the thing that been since high school it was taught to me, and a lot of these kids, it's not taught to them, and then plus just like taking the infield or having situational play, kids don't really see that because they don't do it, they don't take infield major league, they don't take it during the season nor during spring training, so the kids don't have an idea what taking infield is all about. So that's something that's just like bunting. It's a lost art.
Yeah, that's definitely true. That's definitely a good tip for those young players who are aspiring to make it to the big leagues. And we have some great games to report right now in the top of the 8th inning. And it's tied actually with Detroit and the Los Angeles Angels is at 2-2. And Pittsburgh is actually down. We're in the bottom of the 5th. They're losing 0-7 against San Diego. Miami came out with a final score, lost against the New York Mets 3-4, but that was a close one. And as you said, we talked about the Nats and the Reds. The Reds came out with a W 8-2. The Rockies and their final score came out with a W against Philadelphia 4-1. And Tampa Bay, high scoring game, beat the Orioles 9-5. We also had Milwaukee play against Arizona. It was a close one, 6-7. And Chicago White Sox came out with a nice score, 6-0 against Houston for their final score. Any of those plays were unexpected games or unexpected wins of those games?
For the Pirates, they've been streaking. They've been playing well, but they cooled off maybe the last couple of games, but they're playing good ball. Of all the ones you mentioned, I look at the Pirates, surprising that they're getting beat as badly as they are, but the other games pretty much on track. I had mentioned earlier about Minnesota, Houston, and Kansas City, but the Mets, another surprise team that's doing well. They have that resiliency. They keep having guys may get hurt, but have guys to replace them to do a great job. But I don't know when David Wright is coming back, but it's going to be a big boost whenever he does come back.
Yeah, that's what you always talk about, is the depth of the team, especially as we get further into the season.
Right, because those guys are, the young guys are going out there playing hard, and they're just looking, you know, straight ahead. Not saying that you need to go out there and pace yourself, but you don't want to go out there and overwork yourself, but you want to make sure that you're prepared for it. And these guys haven't played with this intensity during their career, so they're just learning how. And then somebody needs to be there to make sure that their body's going to be able to respond day in and day out to be able to do that.
Exactly. And just to finish up the George Foster wrap-up, or St. Louis came out with a W against the Dodgers, 3-1. Chicago Cubs came out with a win as well against Kansas City, 2-1. Boston fell to Texas, 3-4. And Atlanta came out with a W against San Francisco, 7-5. The Yankees, surprisingly, they lost against Oakland 3-0, and Cleveland came out with a W against Seattle 6-3. Well, Coach Foster, this certainly was a great evening, and like you said before, talent and skills. What are your thoughts about the two? Do you need one? Can one sustain without the other? Advice for the young players. How do you build upon both sides, talent and skill?
It depends on what type of talent you may have. If you have talent as far as good running speed or talent as a pitcher, a good arm, you may stay around long, but you're not going to be consistent, so you're not going to be a big winner. But the skill is going to really help you to not only stay longer but be more productive. But if you can combine the two, being able to get a guy who has a lot of talent and develop that and show him the skills, because people feel that you cannot teach skills, but I feel skills is like it's second nature. That being second nature is something that you can learn and pick up, and that's going to help you become a better player day in and day out. But having that talent, there are guys who have a lot of talent, but they never did scratch the surface as far as being successful. So they would bounce around from team to team, and they may play 10 years or so, but they won't be quality years. But a guy with the skills, they can play 10 quality years and end up having a great career.
Oh, that is certainly a fine line, and that's a better understanding of talent and skill and a different perspective, and that I think will be helpful for those young athletes, or even the athletes right now in the pro league, if they're frustrated that they know they have the potential, they know they have all the tools, but what's missing, what's not happening.
Right, but that's when it comes, it's important to have somebody there to give them that guidance. And I know nowadays they have pitchers, they have that pitch count, making sure that they don't overthrow, but sometimes they need to work. You got to work the muscle to get it stronger. And when you don't work it, then it will not get it as strong. And then that's when you can easily go out there and pull something. You hear these Tommy John surgeries or the oblique muscles, because those muscles are not adjusted to going that extra game, that extra inning. So you got to get yourself prepared for it. You can, swimming is great, martial arts great, but running is one of the best, because you're going to run, you're going to use your legs on three occasions, not only running, but hitting, throwing. So you got to get those legs prepared, because that's the foundation to the body.
Well, yeah, I totally agree. So you talked about tonight, which is very, very insightful for all of our players, young or old, fans or individuals who are the athletes, that preparation and that force of experience and having that support, that veteran player to give you that guidance, and combining talent and skill.
Yeah, it's very important in having that balance. And some guys, like I said, Bryce Harper, sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't, but if you have a veteran player who's been accomplished player there on that team that he can respect, it won't take 3 or 4 years for that guy to start seeing or doing the things that he needs to do. In the beginning, he was out there as a trial and error. He wasn't really sure what he needed to do and how right. his approach should be. Either defensively or offensively, and how to also to respond to the media or to the fans. There's a lot of things that he needs to know, but you have somebody who's there, who's done it before, it's going to be very helpful.
Definitely. That's very great. And please stay tuned and keep watching us every Sunday. Listen for us. Watch us online. At George Foster Diamond Report, Blog Talk Radio, under the Affinity Network. We are here every Sunday at 9:30, and you can call in, you can email, let us know your opinion. And thank you again, Coach Foster. We certainly have covered all bases tonight. So it's about the development, strength, and the drive of an athlete. Signing off. This is Star, and I hope everyone has a wonderful evening.
Just have a good night, and you think about win from within. That means trust what you have, that confidence, and believe that you can do something, and go out there and put it to work.
Have a wonderful evening. Good night, Coach Foster.
Good night.
Robinson waits. Here comes the pitch, and there goes a line drive to left field.